There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
Hey, I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And I'm Eric.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
You got it, dude.
What's going on, everybody? This is The Element Podcast, brought to you by First Light Gear. And today, we have got outdoorsmen from every line out there.
A lot Eric of work. Trump is with us today.
Eric Trump, that's right.
I'm here.
Then Trump and them Reds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They ain't hitting on their heads.
That's right. So we thought we'd talk about a few things today. We've been doing a lot of stuff. We've had some videos come out on YouTube, and we will have some other ones come out on YouTube. Y'all go check that stuff out. But we want to talk a little bit about some of the fun stuff you can do right now. Eric, you, sir, proved to the world that they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to what is actually a redfish lure.
Man. That's right.
Is that the truth?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're down here in Texas, so I just threw on some Texas rig, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you do, right?
Let me tell Eric.
Plural.
Tell us.
Texas rig.
Not Texas.
he took the singular plural thing to the next level there.
Did he? Threw on?
Yeah, I just threw on some Texas rig.
That's right. He did. He did, dude. Saw some Dole and threw on some Texas rig. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, a whole head of cattle out there.
Canola. You were being chastised, probably, by our friend Brian.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything.
Whose friend?
Yeah. For your choice in lure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you caught the biggest fish of the week.
Yeah. I was trying to teach him a thing, but.
How'd you do that?
I just threw out my lure and fish bit it.
Was there any grass in the way?
Yeah, there was. That is the main reason why I threw on a Texas rig, because I kept catching grass. So.
What were you using first?
What Brian says, a heavy jig. But the package said a 16th ounce.
It was like a swim bait.
Yeah,
thing, right?
I had a swim bait on it too. And so I was catching a bunch of grass and went to a Texas rig to go weedless and
So that apparently worked. Reds don't just eat swimmy fish-looking things.
They don't. You know where I think I figured that out? A formative trip in my life. I was 8 years old. My granddad, my dad, and myself got in my dad's. What?
Isn't that, what's that one song? Johnny's daddy was taking him fishing when he was 8 years old.
Yeah, it's me.
It's you, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It wasn't no little blonde girl, though.
No. Just a little blonde boy.
That's it. That was me. We jumped in my dad's Mazda B2300, which is a single cab standard Mazda truck.
Tiny.
Tiny.
Tiny. The tiniest truck ever made.
That's right. And we headed to Port Aransas, Texas from East Texas.
You know who else drives those trucks? People in third world countries.
That's right. That's right. You will see those on the streets of India for sure.
Yep.
We got us a charter on like the Scat Cat or Wharf Cat or something, which is like an offshore party boat, which is the worst way to experience offshore fishing for sure. There's like 40 people. Have you done that before?
Mm-mm, but it does not sound fun.
It was awesome as a kid. There were people were sick, and there's a concession stand on the inside, you know, so like you can get like nasty food. And so like half the people were getting sick and half the people were eating like nachos. And all the people were getting hung up because what you do is you drift fish. And all these lines, it's a bunch of pin centered four-aughts, right? So no one knows how to use one of these things because you have to level wine with your thumb when you reel it in. So everybody's kind of tangled up there. And then all the lines are out the boat trolling ribbon fish or drifting ribbon fish, and kingfish hit one of those, and then that kingfish goes sideways and catches all of the other lines.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really even know who caught the fish a lot of the times. But went out on that thing and then caught a tiny shark. But we stayed down there for 3 days and bay fished while we were there. And as an 8-year-old, that means you just throw the cast net a whole lot, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love throwing a cast net because you never know what you're going to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was cast netting one time, I was stepping around. Bless you, sir. I told this whole story to get to this. There was a spot in the mud where I took a step and out squirted a sand eel out of that mud when I took that step.
A seal.
And he was like probably 12 or 15 inches long, but kind of looked like a popfish kind of, but it was different. And
how does this thing relate to the thing that stripers eat up in the Northeast?
I think those are real eels, like
reels?
American eels. I don't know for sure, but I feel like that's an American eel. There's also a fuzzy worm, whatever they're called, that tarpon eat, the worm hatch.
Yeah.
You know, those things are fast. You ever seen them swim through
no,
the worm?
No, creep me out, though.
Yeah, dude. It's weird. And that's also strange that like a 200-pound fish is taking the time to eat like a 3-inch little worm that's swimming. It's weird.
Weird.
But that's where I decided, okay, peak right there.
Mm-hmm.
the old bass worm probably isn't that bad of a thing. And I think it's neat that you thought that, hey, I'm getting hung up. Let me change it to something I know doesn't get hung up.
Mm-hmm.
How many fish did you catch on that?
Man, a lot.
Really?
I don't remember how many, but caught a lot.
Did you fish Texas rig the rest of the trip?
No, I went back to the swim bait when I saw Brian was catching them, and then just kind of went back and forth.
Did you catch any on a lizard?
Yes.
Texas rig lizard.
Yes. I've never caught a fish on a lizard.
Did you see any lizard swimming while you're out there?
I did not.
That'd be cool.
I'm pretty sure I caught some trout on the Texas rig, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like they look up a lot more than redfish do.
Here's something. People. So, would you say that these fish that are eating lizards like nothing they've ever seen, what causes them to eat that?
I would say instinctive impulse.
So they're instinctive. They see something moving. It looks like it could fit in their mouth, and they eat it.
That's what I told Michaels. We were down there, and I said, man, I feel like fish are just dumb. Like, you just put the right color in front of them, they're going to eat
it. Exactly what I was
getting
to.
I don't even know its color, dude. I think it's just size and motion.
Mm-hmm.
I've always.
So match the hatch?
So it's different depending on, like, what the thing is. So, yeah, I think that if you got bass that are eating 2-inch shad and you try to throw a lizard at them, they're going to have a hard time eating that. But, like,
if they're just in ambush mode, dude, and they're sitting there, yeah, waiting on something to come
or the
by.
Difference in a sassy shad color and a sexy shad color, or what, you know, like one of them's got a little green on its back and one's a little bit yellow or whatever. Like, dude, there ain't no way. I mean, I still am not convinced in any way that a crappie jig that's white on the front with pink tails is like, they're biting that, but they're not going to bite white on the front with purple tails. You know, like,
the only thing that I think is that maybe it messes with the way they view the profile of the bait.
That's, yeah, that's kind of
like a darker bait might seem bigger or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm with you on that. But I think that, like, the little discrepancies, I don't see how it's possible.
Yeah. I basically, when I do it, I just, if it's cloudy or the water's muddy, that's when I use black or blue. And if it's clear water or sunny, that's when I use green stuff.
Yeah.
That's basically the only coloring I do.
So if you, like,
you don't color when you go to the restaurant? They don't give you anything?
I mean, I do when they yeah, offer it.
Only at Chili's. So if fish are considered dumb by Eric and many other people, are they dumb on the scale of animals, or are they just dumber than humans?
Well, that would be a very taxonomic question, Tyler. How many animals are there?
Bazillions.
There's a lot. And it's really, you know, it's hard for me to judge the intelligence of a bug. Because a monarch knows to head south and, like, what a milkweed plant is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but they also
find the
yeah,
worst place. They know.
Monarch also doesn't know how to get out of the carport. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's like intelligence is more than two-dimensional, I think. So that's kind of a difficult thing to say.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, what they eat, I don't feel like most fish are.
What I'm trying to get to is, like, people have no problem with you catching and just, you know, filleting up some fish and eating them.
Mm-hmm.
Then turkeys, people like eating them too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Deer, sometimes people get a little weird about.
Mm-hmm.
Grizzly bears,
mm-hmm,
don't even think about it. You know what I mean? Wait, well, how does this all play together, man? Why? I mean, there has to be an animal intelligence factor that plays
into
that.
Well, I can
tell
you this. This is a different direction, but you'll like it. What makes humans different than all the other living things out there?
Are you asking me for an answer, or is this rhetorical?
Yeah, I'm asking you for an answer.
They have an eternal soul.
Yes, that is correct. And where do we get that, like, in the creation scheme of things?
Before animals, right?
God, no, humans made last.
Yeah, that's right.
God breathes his breath into man, whereas animals are just
created.
That was created.
A difficult question for me to answer.
Was it?
Yeah, that's kind of a specific thing
yeah,
there.
Well, that it's a big difference, though, is that humans have the you know, the spirit of God in them, the breath from God that is what created man, and then everything else is just, you know, dare I say, inanimate, even though it's animated. You know, it's kind of an oxymoron, right?
I just wonder what makes them, what it makes humans decide what is okay culturally to shoot, eat, all that.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you have vegetarians all the time. They're like, oh, but I eat fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah, exactly right. That's a big thing that happens.
Well, I mean, probably has a lot to do with they don't breathe air. So it's just a very foreign thing, right?
Yeah.
And same thing, like, you know, I think vegetarians can eat eggs or something, maybe. I don't really know for sure. There's probably, you know, all kinds of different variations on it. But, like, I would say that's probably a big thing, that it lives in a different realm than what we do. So it seems just more foreign, you know.
Are fish or birds dumber?
Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know, man. Turkeys are dumb sometimes. We petted a turkey last – the three of us petted a turkey last year.
I've seen
wild
birds flying to windows.
I've seen some really smart ones. Okay, so we are talking, like, on the phylum level here, right? So it's pretty difficult because phylogenically, you're saying that a horse – is in the same phylum as, like, a gopher. You know what I mean? So you can't just say, like, well, animals are smarter than birds or whatever, you know, because those crows that we saw today are way smarter than a gopher.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everybody knows a horse is, like, a lot smarter than a turkey. So it's kind of hard to kind of quantitate that on such a high level, I would say. But overall,
I don't want to make a shot towards Willie Nelson here, but
I do. Do it.
I feel like it's like when it comes to this, the question that I keep asking here, I think that it's like Willie Nelson, where it's like nobody really knows. Like, basically, he's just famous for being famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like somehow culture just kind of latched on to this, you know, harmless redheaded stranger guy. And then he got, like, he kind of was like your grandpa that smoked pot or whatever. And so that was funny to people. And then it made him more popular and more likable or whatever. And then he's just like this huge icon, cultural icon, when he really didn't have, people get mad here. He didn't have like a bunch of crazy big hits. He wasn't that great of a singer in most people's opinion. It's just like, you know, he's a super, super popular.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens with bears and wolves? Where, like, you don't know where it comes from, and all of a sudden it's there. And it's like, this is a problem to shoot bears.
This is a real meat-eater term to say, right? This is a Steve thing, but it's a charismatic megafauna, right? So people like the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And bears represent that, like, to a T, right?
Yeah.
That's
true.
I think that people like dogs a lot too, and bears are kind of like dogs. They're different. I mean, they're
wolves
not
certainly are.
Wolves are the worst. that's why I want to go to Mexico and eat a dog, man. It's culturally acceptable down there. You know, like, you're talking about what makes them culturally acceptable. I'm down, dude. I'm telling you, like, it'd be worth it. So I don't know. At the same time, I don't really want to eat a bobcat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it would taste better than a dog.
There's also a certain level in, you know, people might not like this, but a lot of this stuff does go back to biblical things, right? The cloven-hoofed animals that chewed the cud, that was considered clean. Stuff like the pawed animals and things weren't considered clean to eat. So at some point in time, there was like a religious backing to that. You know, nowadays that's not really, we don't live by the old law, but there is like this thing.
Some people don't live by the new law.
That's right. A lot of people don't. Yeah.
Defund the police, right?
That's right, dude.
I mean, that's
no justice, no peace.
Things are crazy, man.
I think that that's probably part of it. It's like, oh, it's weird. It's like, you know, you can see what you think is a turkey in a pasture. And you're like, man, I'd eat that. And then you realize it's a turkey vulture, and you're like, oh, I wouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
But they lay the same size egg. They the same size animal. Because I have rescued baby turkey vultures from attics, and they are ugly.
Has it ever crossed your mind to actually eat one? An egg?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I remember last time you had one, you brought it to my house, and
I'm gonna get in trouble.
Somebody brought it to our house.
This egg existed somewhere, hypothetically.
I don't know. I don't think you even knew where it came from. Just in your truck or something, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But, like, no, it was something you definitely weren't considering eating.
I didn't want to,
at the time. But
no.
Maybe in your younger days you did.
Well, I suppose I considered it and decided not to.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
Do they stink? I can't remember if that one's stunk.
Buzzards stink where they live.
The worst. I hit one with my rearview mirror one time on my truck, and my truck stunk for like a week.
You throw up when you hit him?
Did he throw up?
Yeah.
No.
That's like their defense thing. They throw up. Yeah, they're gross.
Not
dude.
That I saw.
They nasty.
I thought I was going to miss
would
it, and all of a sudden it swooped down into my mirror. I was like,
would you rather eat a turkey vulture? Which actually, to kind of have a little bit of delineation here, the Mexican vultures are the real gross ones. Turkey vultures,
the black-headed ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Turkey vultures are kind of clean, kind of. Little C, but they. Would you rather eat a turkey vulture or a water turkey?
Eric, you go first.
I don't even think I really – I mean, I've kind of seen the water turkeys here, but I don't know if I really know what they look like. But it sounds better.
So I'd for sure eat a water turkey.
Water
first.
Turkeys are literally water buzzards.
I would for sure eat a water turkey first.
I think so, too.
But I would hate to do this. I would hate that to be my only choices.
I think I could play this game for a long time. Would you rather eat this or this?
We should do a whole episode.
Let's do it. Let's do a minor one here. Everybody come up with two.
Okay.
I already used one.
Okay.
Anybody ready for one?
Kind of.
It has to be nasty.
No.
Okay.
But I it's more fun to do things that's like, would you rather eat a new guy or an elk? You know, it's kind of, yeah. But
would you rather eat a earthworm or a tick?
Earthworm for sure.
I think mine is going to be, would you eat frog eggs?
No, you have to answer this question because I know.
Wait, me? Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, earthworm.
Tick, dude.
No, no. Stop.
Yeah, they swallow
no
it
way.
One hole.
No
one hole.
Way.
One hole.
My little league coach ate an earthworm before our last game to inspire us. We still lost.
Oh, perfect. That worked. I'm glad.
And now he is the DA.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Drug administrator?
Yeah. whatever the big one is, it's over a district, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you got a question?
Frog eggs or a salamander?
Oh, like a whole salamander?
Yeah.
The eggs, do they have tadpoles in them?
I don't know.
I'd go with the frog caviar.
I would be interested in frog eggs. I kind of, it's almost like, I haven't had this either, but it would be like boba tea. Can you imagine making boba tea with frog eggs? It would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you could do it.
That'd be neat.
Put a little sugar in there.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I like going with the bird stuff because they're familiar, you know.
Mm.
Would you rather eat a coot?
Mm. I've eaten a coot, by the way.
Have you?
Yes. Cooked over an open fire with no seasoning.
Oh, man.
I was young.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Would you rather eat a coot or a kestrel?
At this point, a kestrel for me.
Because you've already had the coot.
I don't think I know what either of those are.
So, a coot are those little black things that swim around and look like ducks.
We saw them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, when we hunted with Mark.
Yeah. And then a kestrel is the tiny raptor that you see flying around eating grasshoppers and small things.
They call them sparrow hawks a lot of times.
Yeah.
I'd probably try the coot.
Okay. They That's look good. More edible for sure.
They definitely are more legal. I have to do another one?
Yeah, another question.
Would you rather eat a dog or a kitty cat?
A dog.
You know my answer.
Kitty cat. I think I'd eat a kitty cat, too.
Man, cats are tiny.
Because I don't like cats.
I don't like either of them.
Don't be tender.
I guess it's true. Maybe. Might be stringy.
Mm.
I don't know.
Tastes like pork is what everybody says.
I bet you they do. Everything tastes like pork. Anything that's omnivorous. It's
either chicken or pork.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's whatever
sure.
Everything tastes like.
Eric?
Chicken.
What?
You say chicken or pork?
No.
Taco Bell, you said.
Taco Bell, yeah. That's what's on my mind.
Acapatillo.
Oh, my gosh.
I have another one. Never mind. Would you rather eat boiled leche guía or raw acapatillo?
Boiled leche guía for sure.
Acapatillo.
All right, Eric, what's your last question?
Man.
People are yelling because they don't know. We know it's Ocotillo, guys. Don't worry.
A possum?
They don't know.
Or
a opossum or opossum?
A possum. Or a dadgummit.
Like the t-shirt?
Yeah. Get one. A gopher.
Oh, a gopher for sure.
Gopher are a lot cleaner.
Yeah,
I would say
100%
gopher.
A gopher.
Do you know my possum story? I may have told it on the podcast, but it's probably time to tell it again. I have a couple, but only one of them I'm going to tell now. The other one probably is not good for company. So I used to work for the state doing animal control pretty much, wild animal control stuff, state trapper. And I had this guy who was losing calves to coyotes, and he didn't want us to use any snares and that stuff, so hunting was the best way. And I had a night vision unit that they loaned me to use to do a little. It was just for scanning. I didn't have it attached to the gun, but he had a dead cow that I could go sit over and try to kill some of these coyotes.
I've heard this one.
It's gross. So the cow's been dead about a week, so it's kind of been eating on a little bit, and it's starting to dry out some. And I'm sitting there thinking coyotes are going to show up for sure. I got the wind set. I don't see any coyotes all evening. I'm sitting there kind of in the dark thinking that, well, okay, they're going to come in later. And then I see in the night vision something moving over to the left. Well, it's a possum. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. He's going to go eat some of that cow. This possum crawls up on top of this cow. I'm like, what is he doing? And then he crawls to the rear of this cow and does a reverse Ace Ventura on this cow and crawls up in the body cavity via the anus of this cow.
What's the saying, Eric? These rhinos, what is it? What is these rhinos are kind of hot or something.
I don't know. I think I know it.
I can't remember it. This is something Ace Ventura says when he's.
So ever since then, I don't touch possums because they're gross.
All right, I've got one.
Also,
last one.
It's impossible for possums to eat 17 million ticks a year or whatever the stat is.
I was going to bring this up earlier.
Yeah, whenever you do the math, that means that possums are eating 300 and something ticks a day. Impossible.
All right, one more.
All right.
A maggot or a tick?
Maggot, for sure.
Unfortunately. I hate this one.
Tick is one of the worst things. You know what I was thinking about ticks today?
I don't know, dude.
Because I was like, you know a place I've never had a tick is in my nostril.
Mm-mm.
But they could get there.
Yeah.
Imagine having a tick in your nostril.
All of a sudden, you just wake up and you're not breathing very good on one side.
Or it's a seed tick and you just can't get out of there because it's all up in there.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Take what me about to that emergency room.
In your ear.
Yeah, it could happen. Absolutely. Yeah.
Single dude like me. You,
scary.
You ain't getting it out.
Yeah.
That's why you leave all that earwax in there. That way they can't get in there.
All right, I got one more.
All right, what's your last one?
Would you rather eat a praying mantis or a monarch butterfly?
Oh, mantis for sure. I've considered eating mantis anyways.
No, dude.
I'm with him.
Really?
There's a lot of protein there.
Dude, those are creepy. Those have a higher intelligence.
The butt section of one of those things is very, like,
yeah, but the head's going
to tintillating.
Rip around and look at you.
I'm probably going to eat it alive.
I'm telling you, dude, they're higher intelligence than most bugs. Maybe all bugs. What's the smartest bug there is, dude?
Smartest bug? I feel like this is actually, praying mantis might be up there.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
But what's considered a bug?
Things with 6 to 8 legs, maybe? I don't know.
So you're going to count crustaceans?
Some of them definitely got that bug look to them.
are you going to count cephalopods?
Those are things that make fossils in the...
An octopus would fall under that.
That's an octopod.
Technically, an
not a cephalopod.
So technically, now there's probably somebody with a degree who's yelling at me, but... You could call an octopus a bug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it even? It doesn't have a brain, does it? Do octopus have brains?
Oh yeah, they're super smart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, they got a brain in each tentacle or something, don't they?
I don't know.
It's something weird. Yeah. I can't remember. Something weird about octopus.
Yeah, but octopus. Octopi. I think the smartest of all those is a cuttlefish, if I remember right.
They're creepy.
Yeah,
dude.
The little reverse squids with
beaks.
Yeah, they're weird.
Yeah. Is it a bird? It's got a beak.
It is. That makes sense. Yeah. So
it's a bird. It's a bug. It's a octopus.
But the land bugs, I feel like there's this thing where crawfish, which they're not a land bug, but I wonder if crayfish are smarter than we give them credit for.
I don't know, man.
Things that live a long time, I feel like are going to be smart, but that's not really true because trees live a real long time.
Side story on praying mantis.
All right.
The moment I learned this dude, Casey, here has really good eye vision, we were like storming through some tall grass to get to a spot. It was the night you killed in South Dakota, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, that first year I filmed you guys. And we're just storming through this tall grass, and he just stops. He goes, look at that praying mantis. And I stop, and I'm like, where?
It's like 300 yards away. Oh, dang,
that's
dude.
That's funny.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where Land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to Land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Too, man. Speaking of that, you know, like it is fun to get out there and storm around in the stuff, especially right now, because for a lot of people, not our friends in Alabama, Mississippi, maybe, but for most of the country, there's not much deer hunting to do right now, but there is other stuff out there. And we did some axis hunting. We've talked about that. We've also been doing a lot of pig hunting, which is pretty fun. Pretty pink pig in a parachute. You ever heard that?
I think I have heard that.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't have a clue, but it's a thing I heard a lot growing up. I don't know if that was like some type of a slogan for a brand or something or what, but anyways, I'm derailing us. I've been doing some pig hunting, and I think that...
Big hunting.
Yeah. We call it punting around here. I think that there are two things that pig hunting reminds me of, not like recollecting onto other things I've done, but instead like reminds me of why you should do pig hunting is A, you can sharpen your skills really, really, really well and effectively for a lot of reasons we'll get into. And B, it reminds me about how when we hunt, we really are trying to obtain food. And because pigs are so, it's such an easy bridge from shooting a pig to eating a pig. Because, I mean, it's one of the three most consumed animals on our continent, and it might be
on the planet.
I mean, I bet it's one of the top on the planet.
Goat is number one.
Goat is number one,
I believe,
for sure.
So. Most consumed protein.
I know that in Asia, pig is wild. Actually, we were talking to a friend the other day who was talking about that. You know, like, there's a lot of pigs in the Oriental stuff. And I, for lunch today, had hog. I had El Pastor, which is probably the best application of the hog.
Dadgummit, it is.
So good.
Man, I don't know. That thing you made the other day, yesterday was
good. Man, it was good. I made a stew. It's kind of like a pozole.
Made me say, holy pozole.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, it has the hominy in it. But I used roasted serranos and what are those cherubs or what are they called? What am I trying to say here? The tomatillos.
Cherubim?
Yeah. Roasted garlic, tomatillos, serranos, and some onion in the oven, and then emulsified it and turned it into a paste and put it in there, and then used a quart of Nilgai stock, bone stock that we made here, and then just some kind of some cumin, some oregano, some salt, and made a stew out of it with some hog backstrap. And it was delectable, I would say.
It was so good.
It was actually, it started out really spicy, and then it kind of toned down after a day or two, so that was nice. But really good application, and definitely reminded me that, like, hey, it's really cool to shoot hogs because you can eat them.
Is it acceptable to eat pigs?
I would say yes. I accept the pigs.
But pigs are really smart.
Pigs are really smart.
Weird.
It is weird.
Charismatic, smart, megafauna. That is also acceptable to eat.
Yeah.
It's the best of all the worlds.
But they're nasty.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it is.
Yep.
I think that's the difference. So but people don't.
So it's a bunch of hoity-toities that are having a problem with eating.
Oh, yeah.
They're just.
I would say anybody who has a problem with eating anything is a hoity-toity.
They're just cleaner than now.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I never realized how smart pigs were. Because most of the time, because I was blasting with shotguns as soon as I saw them. But growing up, I didn't show pigs, but I had friends that did. Brendan had a show pig. And if you don't know, if you're not from a part of the country, this is common. In Texas, your wife's from a family of show piggers, which is a funny phrase. you show animals, which means you raise this animal as a young one. And fatten it up, and then you walk it around when you're dressed up in your cowboy outfit, and people judge you on, like, the way the animal behaves and stuff and the way it's built.
It's an animal husbandry competition.
Yeah, it's called 4-H or FFA, things like that. They have that kind of stuff.
South of here, they call it 4-H.
Yeah, Quattro H. 4-H. Trace H. for Eric. he's going to get it without one of the H's. So that's actually one of the H's, isn't it? Do you know all the H's? It would be homemaking, husbandry.
Hermanos.
I don't know. I don't know what they are. If you know what those are, Texas.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I could look it up. But
I didn't even know that there
Jamie,
was.
Jamie, look that up.
I didn't even know if those were like.
You thought it was,
I didn't know
those
were acronyms or whatever.
He thought it was just more of a figurehead. Like, yeah. There's four H's, but we don't know what they are.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, use a clover, you know. Yeah. It's four-leaf clover.
After you've ascended to the 17th level, we'll tell you what H's are. But anyways, when Brendan had a show pig, it would play fetch, like, better than a dog. It's weird. Like, you toss a stick to it. Or in the pasture, it'd sit there, look at you, and you'd point, it'd go get the stick, bring it back, drop it at your feet, and sit back down where it was and look at you again.
That's weird.
Yeah. Mm. It, like, Babe is a real thing. You know how, like, the dogs and Babe were all, like, you know, running around crazy, herding the sheep, and then Babe, like, chilly, you know, chilly, which is in a very chillaxed manner. like, herds the sheep. He gets, Bah-ram you. I don't know if the pig said that, but, like, he would go get the stick walking and would walk it back and sit down. Like, a very relaxed animal.
Did he shake?
Nah, I don't think he shook.
Galactic, chillactic.
Yeah. Oh. That was a cool. That's a blue butt. That was a cool pig. But speaking of chillaxed pigs, the spot and stalk aspect of hogs.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's fun. I got hyped several times today.
That's good. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
How do we go about that?
So we decided to walk several hundred acres today with a herd of elephants.
And did you look on your phone how far we walked?
I didn't, no.
It was a pretty decent little walk. Basically, you know, when we go to do this, we try to find a way to walk a loop so that we don't ever walk the same stuff we've already walked. But also, it gets hard to do that sometimes because the wind, excuse me, the wind doesn't always work out for you in the entire loop. Some parts of the loop are better than others, so you have to either create a different approach or hope that the lay of the land works out for you, or just say, you know what, we're just going to walk. And so we decide to walk a loop. You and I kind of, well, early on, we almost killed a big, big boar that got up, probably sleeping. Not far from us and heard us walking. you were we saw him. We both started pulling an arrow out of our quiver. We actually heard Greg say, "There's a pig."
And Greg was very emphatic about that.
He was, and then we looked up, saw him start pulling out arrows out of the quiver, and immediately, as soon as I started having a little trouble pulling my arrow out, I saw you're getting yours out. So I just said, "All right, I'll range." So I pulled my rangefinder up, hit him, said like 58.5. So I said 60, because he was getting ready to walk away, or he was walking about the time that I pulled my rangefinder down. I said 60 right there. And anyway, long story short, he takes off. We didn't get a shot at him. And then we work this big loop near creek. So we're kind of like working down the edge of these creek systems and river systems and stuff, and just trying to like hang out near water and thick cover, basically. And we're in these big river bottom flats where you can see a long ways too through this stuff, because it's floodplain. Just kind of working slowly and as quiet as possible. There's a lot less wind today, so we had a lot less stalking cover noise.
I kind of liked it, though.
I did, too.
I like to be able to hear. So it's kind of a catch-22 because we had five guys in the woods.
Yeah.
Y'all know this, but we film what we do now. So we have the whole crew pretty much every time we do something, and that just means you're just not as effective in the woods because you're louder, right? But from a hunting standpoint, I like stalking around on the quieter days because I can be pretty quiet, stalking. So I can hear stuff. I like to hunt with my ears a lot.
Yeah. I think if I can see pigs out feeding or something like mm-hmm. that, I would rather it be windy. But basically, long story short, we did this big loop, didn't see anything but a bunch of deer, and the deer running off, they scare pigs when they run off. Mm-hmm. And so Casey and I are like, he asked me, how do you think that's doing for us? And I was like, probably not good, especially if we keep bumping them in the direction we're going.
Yeah, that's right. The deer are way more perceptive than hogs are. Partially because they're taller.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking through the woods, and deer are seeing us at 400 yards away because we're not, like, hunting deer. We're not trying to, it would not be the way you hunt deer.
Yeah.
So we're bumping deer. And
boot spooking.
They are definitely – we've seen it in action, right? We've seen mm-hmm. deer spook hogs because the hog's kind of like, what are those deer running from? Better get out of here too.
Yeah.
We know it's something that happens. Yeah.
They know when the deer are freaking out, something's not right. Mm-hmm. And they don't tend to just sit there when that happens. They don't rely on their cover or nothing. They just take off in a trot and just go.
They absolutely rely on the fact that they can just trot faster than most things and cover a ridiculous amount of country.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we kind of made our loop decision at that point to go ahead and turn back, and we make this big loop, turn back, walk a ways, and we're getting down to some good cover where we have seen pigs before, and it just looks good. I mean, it kind of like the elevation drops down and gets real.
You
creepy
killed
by
some
me.
Pigs there last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's on YouTube. Y'all should go check it. It's like the boar sow or what. I don't remember what the title is. But it's some really epic hog hunting footage there from some spot and stalk stuff Tyler did.
Yeah, it's cool. So anyway, we get down in there and Casey and I are kind of probably 100 yards apart or more, and we're kind of using hand signals to say, are we going this way or going that way? So we decided to push into towards this creek instead of work up the creek while the wind is kind of with the wind to an extent. And we're going to work across the wind instead. Well, I don't go probably 50, 60 yards before I pull my binos out and start glassing this bottom, and I see like a patch of hair. It's like a square foot. And I was like, man, I can't tell, but I think that's a pig. It looks like hair. I can't really tell. It's like 100 yards away. Anyway, long story short, I kind of wave and flap my arms to get their attention and, tell them I see something, and we decide it is pigs or whatever. And then he comes over, we make some plans, and and so he's going to try to kind of flank one direction and see, if they bust out, if they go that way or not, and I'm going to go right at them. And so Eric and I go right out, but we got to cross a swamp. And so this is where, I really wish that I had some wind noise, some wind cover, because we're trying to cross this swamp and stepping over big logs and stuff, and it's just, so slow, right? And so everybody else that's there is probably just bored out of their mind, you know, standing there watching us creep. But we're within, you know, 70 yards of these pigs, so we can't make much of noise. And here's the deal. When you're stalking a big sounder, there's inevitably going to always be some weird 150-pound sow that, like, all of a sudden comes out from behind a palmetto, and she's at, like, 40 looking right at you, and you didn't see her until then, you know, even though all the rest of them are at 70 and they're all feeding or whatever. And so you just got to be super careful or you're going to get caught by that one, and then there's no shot, no video, no fun, you know. And so we work across this swamp. We get on a dry land. About the time we do, they kind of move in a direction that I had seen them all kind of starting to move right before we decided to stalk after them. And so they were kind of heading in this direction down this creek. And so we have to, like, get up on this hill and then in this high spot in the swamp and then kind of work down towards them. And there's just a million leaves, you know. And so you still have to be super slow and quiet through that stuff. And, you know, the whole time we're working down towards them, they kind of stop a little bit, and then we kind of catch up with them. We get within 50 of a few of the bigger pigs, and they're in and out of this stuff. There's so many limbs. Like, you got to consider on a 50-yard shot, like, you got to consider your arrow path because it's going to be kind of high, you know. Like, even though I have clear line of sight to this pig at 50, there's these limbs on these cedar elms coming out at, you know, 8 foot, 9 foot up that my arrow has a decent chance of clipping, right? So I end up drawing like four different times and letting down just because A, of that, and then B, because the pigs are moving a lot. I mean, pigs don't sit stand in one spot very very much. They're in a constant, like, move two steps and then walk two quick steps here and then walk two quick steps here. Another thing, this is a tip if you're ever stalking pigs. I noticed this today, and I've noticed it before, but it was reiterated in my mind when this happened. Every time a pig comes out from some brush and goes into a gap where you can shoot it, almost every time that pig sees the gap and stops and looks. Almost every time. So, like, every time I saw a pig come out of the brush and get into a gap at, like, 40, he would turn his head and look down that like, alley. It's like they see the alleys that they can see a ways, and they always stop and look. So, you know, when a pig first steps out, if you draw, you're probably getting seen, you know. Whereas if you draw before he steps out, then he's going to stop, look for about 3 or 4 seconds, and then he's going to keep walking, and you might be able to grunt him or stop him or whatever. But that happened several times. I remember that. But anyway, we had a big boar in there that was just doing circles checking all these sows, and there was piglets everywhere. There was literally probably 40 pigs in there.
It was cool because I could see into there with my binos. I was watching you and Eric, and I was watching the pigs, and, you know, at distance, y'all looked like you were, like, 5 yards from them.
Yeah.
But you're probably, like, 40 or something. Mm-hmm. But I was the whole time I knew y'all were, like, in the mix.
Yeah, we were in there.
And so I could see all this happening from kind of a third-person perspective. Mm-hmm. It was, like, a really neat spot.
Dude, at one time, there was all these little tinies, like 15 or a dozen little tinies.
Tinies, dude. I mean, like, the size of my phone, it looked like.
They were babies. Well, they at one time, they make, like, the herd of them makes a mad dash back towards us. And I was like, okay, they're if they come to us, the big ones are going to naturally follow. The sows are going to follow because that's what they did going that direction. And I told Eric, I was like, I think they're coming our way, you know. And they were like, I guess they were so small that they weren't covering much ground, but they would be, like, running. And then I would see them running, like, 30 seconds later, and I'm still like, how are they only gone 10 yards, you know? It's like,
hey, one time I saw you, like, reach back and look like you were holding hands with Eric. What was going on?
I might have been just telling him to stop something like that.
I think he was telling me to come towards him because he did that at one point. He was doing, like, that kind of
movie. Yeah, I couldn't see Tyler's hand. You were covering. And I was like, what are they doing? No. I couldn't tell if, like, Eric couldn't see.
I was giving
or
a Fiji.
We're just enjoying the moment.
Yeah. I thought you were
it's like watching a sunset together, you know. But no, so we think we're getting in the mix. I mean, we are in the mix. Like I said, I'd already drawn like 3 or 4 times at 50 and just had pigs do different weird things. At one point, the big boar comes in and checks it, and I've got him at like 43, and I drew back on him, and I mean, he's barely got – I got probably like a foot to shoot him in, you know, and I'm clear. And I said, are you ready? And he was like, yeah. And as soon as I said, are you ready? He starts turning and just hard quarter away. And I was like, man, I don't want to track this pig for forever. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be so precise. And that's a long shot and there's brush. And I'm glad I didn't shoot it. But anyway, he goes back around and we start to scoot up and get behind this big bur oak tree or overcup tree. And I get right in front of it. And Eric's kind of like he has to be kind of behind me and out profiled, you know, not against the tree. He's away from the tree a little bit. And so but we had by the time we got there, we had already known this for a few yards. We had like 5 yards to go to get there when the big boar bedded. Mm. And I was like, dang, dude, he's like right there. He's real close. So we get to that tree. He's bedded at like probably about 26, 27 yards. And I can see him. Like, I can see his back and stuff. And so I told Eric, I was like, he's right there, you know. Told him where. We got it all worked out. And all the pigs had moved off, but you could still kind of hear them back in there and see a few of them. And so, like, I'm just kind of waiting. I'm fixing to – I finally got me a good angle or whatever, and I'm waiting. I'm going to wait on him to stand up, and he's going to walk behind this big tree. I'm going to draw, and then he's going to come out and open in the gap and stop, and I'm going to shoot him. Well – I hear like a pig walking around and I see one off like away from the group kind of coming out to the left of him. The group's all to the right of him and it's coming towards us. It's a pretty good pig. And so I told Eric, I was like, you see that pig? He goes, yeah. I was like, if it comes close, I'm going to shoot it. And so it kind of hung out back there forever. And then another one kind of came from his right and behind him and comes up and stops at like 40 probably like 40 yards and he's kind of behind this little hill, but you can see his ears and they're just like alert and he's just looking. And I don't know if he could see Eric or not because Eric wasn't against the tree, you know, he's out having to be behind me to get perspective with the camera. But like he stopped for and stared at us, I felt, for like a minute, and I was like, dang, we might be busted right here. And then he went back to feeding. So he was like 40 or less, and so he's behind this brush. I pull my rangefinder up to range him. And I'm, like, struggling through the brush to range him. And I finally get, like, a 42-yard range or something on him. And I put it back down. And when I put my rangefinder down, this giant boar is standing up, walking off at 28 yards or whatever. Mm. And so my brain, like, goes into overtime or overdrive, you know. It's, like, freaking out. I'm like, he's about to get away. I only got two little lanes here. And so he's already past the tree that I was supposed to draw behind, and he goes out into the gap, and I draw back on him, and I'm telling myself 30 yards, 30 yards, 30 yards, and draw back. He sees me draw, so he locks it up like they do, stands there and looks at me. And I settled the pin and everything, and when I had drawn back on those pigs at 50 like four different times, I had changed my pin delegations or whatever to 30, 40, 50 instead of 20, 30, 40. And I shot the wrong pin. I knew they were 30, 40, 50, but like just, you know, mm-hmm. fried brain, all of a sudden things go wild.
And you slept on the couch last night.
Yeah.
So.
And just.
Didn't help.
No, probably not. And so I shot the wrong pin, and I haven't looked at the footage, but to me it looked like it went pretty good. It just mm-hmm. went high.
Yeah.
And I mean, way high.
He strung jump it just a little.
Strung too. Jumper.
Strung jump.
Yeah, strung. String jump. Yeah.
Strump. Strump. He was strumping.
I got a little boot in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, it was it went over the top, and they all, like the three pigs knew that it was – something was weird, and the rest of them didn't have a clue. I almost shot a brown one after that, but I couldn't get my arrow out of my quiver fast enough. It is just, you know. So that's the way pig hunting goes, though. And honestly, like, making good shots on pigs is one of the hardest parts of the whole thing mm-hmm. because you're looking at a black blob.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot of definition. There ain't a crease that you can see very easily sometimes. It's just, like, mud caked all over them or whatever, or just black blobs. And then also they sit low. So one thing you don't realize sometimes is you're shooting actually kind of high on them because mm-hmm. they're sitting below the grass line. Like a lot of their chest cavity sits mm-hmm. below the grass line. And so, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to take a while for me to become like really good at shooting pigs probably. But they're fun targets to
go
after.
They are, man. Let's talk a little about some of the indicators and things that, like, you notice from pigs. You picked up on one while ago about that hog stopping and looking, which I've never really thought about that much. That's a cool point. It is weird, though, how much they do use their vision, even though they don't have great vision. Like, I would say they see not as good as you or I. They mm-hmm. don't see as good as a deer. And, like, if you're standing still and you have the wind on pigs, like, they would almost walk up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of got the T-Rex thing, you know, yeah. where as long as you're not moving and you don't have on brightly colored clothes, like, you're pretty much just non-existent.
Yeah, unless you're in a field and you're the only thing sitting there, up, you know. Yeah. Like,
and still the other day, whenever we were access hunting, we were the only thing in a field, and they let us get to 40 yards. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I drew my bow, one of the sows, that same one you're talking about, freaking
yep.
idiot.
Yep, you know? Off to the side.
Yeah, just caught you. Yep. And just what, zero tolerance.
Yep.
You know?
That's the thing, though. They yeah. they don't have tolerance mm-mm. at all. They will, if they see anything weird, they will take off. Mm-hmm. And that's what people, and that's because they're smart. Yeah. You know?
But the weird thing is, and maybe this is because they're smart, humans are smart, we also, like, kill ourselves on purpose a lot of times. If you are at the spot they want to be because of food, you can spook them and sit there, and they'll talk themselves back into coming back out,
mm-hmm.
which deer will never do that, mm-hmm. hardly ever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they are gone.
Yeah. But if you spook them, what you're not going to get is, like, what a deer, especially a mule deer, will do, bound off a couple mm-hmm. steps and look back and give you a shot.
That's where the old squealer comes in.
That's you have to,
yeah.
because if you don't, they will just do the trot thing
yeah,
forever.
They're just gone. They just
yeah.
find the nearest squiggly tail and follow it,
yep.
and they just go.
Yep.
So that brings up another point that I really key in on is, like, there's, since they're black blobs, you can only see the things hanging off of them. So you can see their tails and you can see their ears. A lot of times, both of those things give them away. They have a little bit of an arched, rounded back, so, like, whenever you're looking at distance, you can kind of see that sometimes through the grass. But if you're stalking pigs, and you see ears, it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they are alert to something.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you won't see it when they're feeding.
No.
Which
they
do most of the time.
They have their heads down. It's not like they tuck their ears, but they're just kind of relaxed. They don't have as much dexterity in their ears as deer do.
Yeah.
But when a pig's on alert, they go, whoop, and they, like, kind of lift their heads halfway up, and then their ears point right at the sky.
Yeah.
And if you see that, it's bad.
They're not meant to lift their heads very high.
They don't do that.
They're built to be ground-dwelling nostrils.
Yeah, they can, but they can exert a lot of force in that 4 or 5 inches they can move their
That's
head.
That's right.
It's wild. But the other indicators at the other end, the tail is a huge thing when you're spotting a stalk. And I noticed it today on those pigs. Whenever you were in there, the whole time I was watching them, they were flipping their tail around and eating, and if their tail is flopping around, flipping, that means they're happy hogs and they don't have a clue in the world anything is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, y'all were close, but I could tell why you were taking your time, because it's like, well, they're completely relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no concern at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever the tail stops, you know something's up, and it can be very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden they just kind of stop. They don't really move much.
Man, that's exactly what that boy did when I drew. He literally didn't move. He didn't look at me. He just He just stayed in that same, like, perpendicular side profile, but he was looking right at me, right, with his right eye.
Mm-hmm.
And his left eye was looking for an escape route.
He didn't turn his head. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's right. And so, and another thing that they'll do is they'll almost do the, like, fake you out thing where, like, they're, like, thinking about what they're about to do, but they're trying to act like nothing happened, but their tail will give it away.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's what the very first boar we saw did, too.
Yeah.
Like, we saw him really close, and he just, like, stared at us and then was out.
Yeah. They'll, like, just kind of ease off almost.
Yeah.
You know, he's like,
Maybe they don't see me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, man, but they're a lot of fun because, like, they are easier to spot and stalk than deer are. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, like, if you wanted to kill them with guns, yeah, you could smoke them, right? But, like, to seal the deal, the closing 50 yards is really tough still.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times because there's a lot of eyes.
They hear well, too.
They do hear really good.
Yeah.
And so you're really honing skills a lot whenever you do. And I think, honestly, it's helped me kill some deer on the ground in the past few years. You know, I can't be like, oh, that's because I hunted hogs. But, like, just overall experience hunting stuff from the ground just teaches you a ton.
Yeah. Dude, I used to hunt.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
I used to hunt. I used to stalk ducks at my dad's place all the time. That was what I did all the time when I was young. And I do think that it has helped me a lot when it comes to stalking stuff. Because it's, I mean, you get to where you're stalking 200 things that have sharp vision. And you can learn when any of them gets weird at all, you know. And you got to see the whole thing. It's like being a DB. If you can't see more than one route, and what you're looking at, and you can't focus on the other things in your periphery, then you're not going to make a very good DV. You have to see like all four routes sometimes, you know. Yeah. So it's the same thing, like, and that's a learned thing. You can learn that, and you don't, like, you're not necessarily going to do that the first time you go to stalk a pig or the first time you go to defend routes. You're going to look at the guy that you're on or whatever, you know. But somebody goes, hey, you have to see that route, and you go, oh, well, okay, I can see that. I just didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with stalking. It's like, I mean, you're going to get caught by some random sows, and you're still going to, even if you see them all sometimes. But, like, you know, you get better at seeing all the pigs and what they're doing. And, oh, there's one I got to look over at that one because it stopped all of a sudden real weird, and it's not flicking its tail anymore. You know?
Sometimes also when you're pig hunting and there's a good-sized group or sounder, as they're called, you have to settle for the pig that you're given.
Yeah.
You can't always hunt the biggest one. Like, that's where we were at. You just get caught by one, and it's like, I got to shoot that one because it's the only one in the open.
Yep.
You know, so you kind of have to, you almost, that, and that, when I'm deer hunting at least, a lot of times I look at a deer and I like kind of, this happens fast, but I familiarize myself with that animal and I kind of almost like lock in on it, like a predator prey scenario. Hogs, it's kind of hard, and you kind of see how lions lose the zebra, you know, because they're just all in and out, in and out. And then all of a sudden, like, you have to decide, I'm shooting that particular one. Like, it's a little difficult to do from time to time.
Especially when that particular one goes behind a tree or does something weird, you know, and then you're like, oh, well, there's another one over there. And then he comes out and you're, it's crazy. It's like, you know, if 100 mallards came in on you, you know, and you didn't have much experience with it, you would not pick one.
I can tell you when I was a kid, when the large swarms of blackbirds flew over, I tried the whole shoot up amongst them kind of deal, and it don't work.
Nope.
You got to pick one.
Nope.
You got, even if it's a shotgun, you got to pick one to shoot at. You can't just shoot in there around them and hopefully get one. You know, it's pretty cool. But We do have some hogs on the ground, and there will be a video from this and other things that transpired that we won't go all the way into here on the podcast, I reckon. So
yeah, you'll have to watch. It's cool footage.
Yeah, it's sick, dude. Over the shoulder stuff.
Old J. Michael laid it down.
J. Michael J. and in that case, I got to hunt, and or we were both hunting, but I got to pull the trigger, and I did get to pick out the pig because it was a different color than the other ones. It also happened to be the closer one. And it got really close.
Yeah, and it was way bigger than we thought it was.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I think I experienced the same thing today. Looking through my binos, I was looking at all those pigs in front of y'all. I was like, oh, I see that boar. He looks like he's like 125 pounds. Those sows look like 75-pounders. I bet you they weren't.
They were big.
I bet you they were a lot bigger.
That boar
was
big, dude.
Yeah.
It's scary.
The first boar we saw today was really big.
Yeah.
Like, he looked big.
Yeah. It was hairy and just nasty.
Long, too.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's underrated on hogs. A lot of times, so wild hogs aren't Russian boars. They're escaped and renaturalized, just, you know, swine from farm swine. And there probably is a little bit of a Russian boar in some of them. But overall, you know, they are just a different pig than the wild European pig. But that all goes to say there's a lot of different genetic variety in them, and you see that most often in color, but there is also different body shapes. Even though it's like not something that you think about too often, that hog today was long and like stretched out, but also muscular. I bet he was surprisingly heavy.
Yeah.
You know, because like the potbelly ones, they're heavy. They're not a potbelly pig. It's different, but like there's round ones, right, that are heavy, and for sure some of the biggest pigs I've shot are the fat round ones, but that big sucker like that, he's like, it's just like a 6'6" dude weighs a lot, even though he's skinny.
Yeah.
You know?
Ah, yeah. For sure. You see a tight end, you're like, oh, he kind of looks like a normal dude, but he weighs 260, you know, or whatever.
Exactly. Like, oh, which this pig today, he very well, he was for sure over 200, and who knows. I want to get to where we can weigh him a little bit more.
I know. I was just thinking that when you were talking about this. I was like, man, there's got to be a way we make something happen.
Maybe keep a scale like on the four-wheeler or something.
Need a little come along or something too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Strap him up to the tree.
Yeah. That, you know, we were talking about the pig video that we're going to release here pretty soon, but there's also a video coming out even before then of y'all's fishing trip, Eric.
So, day this releases, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
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 What do you think, Eric?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So you're just Texas rig, worm fishing, gigantic trout, and nice reds.
Yeah, dude. The Texas Slam makes an appearance in that video.
That's right, dude.
Do you know what the Texas Slam is?
I don't.
So y'all caught the Texas Slam as a group.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a flounder, a redfish, and a trout.
Yeah.
And
all on the same day.
All on the same day.
I had a slam personal in.
Did you in the same day?
Well, it has to be the same day.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It may have happened same
but
day.
But most of the time, like the big accomplishments, do it all in the same day.
I think Brian did too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So,
there's a toad trout in it.
It is. It makes me sick a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a giant.
Yeah.
Like, I think the biggest trout I've caught is 24, which looked big.
That fish has got to weigh like 8 pounds, didn't it?
Probably.
I think they say 30 inches weigh 10 pounds.
That's what I've heard too.
That's wild.
10 to 12. Dude. It depends. Also, those fish are eating 1 pound mullet often. Mm. So, like,
I want to eat a 1 pound mullet.
Dang.
I'm telling you, dude, I think they're good.
Somebody wrote into us about eating mullet.
Yeah,
didn't
that's
they?
Right.
Yeah.
Instagram or something.
And I know that, like, it's been a thing. There's been a commercial fishery for it. I know, like, in the 70s and 80s, when the bays froze, supposedly. Like, the trout population just went to zero. So there was no commercial trout in some of the stores, and mullet would show up advertised as sea trout. Hmm. So,
oh,
like,
cool.
It's a thing. Yeah. Mullet roe is also a thing, too. Huh. Like, people eat the roe out of those things. Yeah. So I might need to go, like, do, like, a mullet catch, clean, cook.
I think we definitely should.
That would be
dude.
Cool. I mean, I've seen some biggins.
Yeah.
Like, there's surely, you know, here's the deal. It's like this. a tiny little bitty shad is gross. But you find a really big gizzard shad, surely you can get in there and find a piece of meat out of that thing that's not that nasty.
You think?
I kind of feel that way about a big mullet, too. And they're not as nasty as shad are. They stink. Mullet have a particular smell. Did you notice that? You didn't mess with
really
them much.
We didn't really mess with them.
They have
much.
A very particular, like, I smell something like, that smells like mullet. It ain't just like, it smells like fish. Mullet smell.
Are they slimy?
A little bit. Not as slimy as a,
trout.
As a, like a hardhead. Hardheads are slimy. Y'all didn't catch any of that because you didn't hardly live bait fish. You need some hardheads in your life, Eric.
Did catch a piggy perch.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was on your worm?
It was like that big.
Oh, tiny, huh?
It was tiny.
I caught the state record on fly out there. It was weird. Dude, so I used to – I know we're trying to wrap this up, and we're kind of getting off the trail here, but I used to kind of get my fill of the bay fishing when I was a kid when we were down there, and I would snorkel. And I would go out there and swim to where the baits were in the water and watch them. And it was pretty cool. Because, like, this – so it would be egg weight with a piece of cut mullet or cut ballyhoo or something suspended in one of those potholes. And if you'd sit there and watch, you'd see the piggy perch just – it's a swarm. There's, like, 60 or 80 of them just going wild. So no wonder the redfish find it, right? Because those little piggy perch are flashing, going nuts. And then a sea robin would, like, kind of, like, crawl along the bottom over there near it and, like, jump up and get a bite. Like, it's really cool to be underwater watching that happen. It is a learning experience for sure.
I'd like to do some snorkeling in some clear, cold rivers. Not the cold part. It's not my favorite, but, like, clear, cold rivers typically have some pretty good, pretty cool fish in them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's neat to just watch fish do stuff. That's why Bass Pro has them tanks.
It's my my kid's favorite part.
No, it's still my favorite part now.
I mean, we go every time we go there. It's like the first thing we got to do is go look at the fish tank.
And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, or if this is true, but I feel like they used to be better than they are now. It's like it's the same old. Back when they first did them, it was a nice fresh gar, but now it's just the same gar, but it's glassy eyed. And 20 years later, you know what I mean? Like, he's still in there living. He's just kind of looking rough.
Dang it, dude. They need to exchange them.
The crappie are kind of on a 45, just swimming. You know what I mean?
Kind of like a trout that's been released after somebody stuck their finger in its gills or something.
I was there one time when they were feeding the hybrids. You know, before they had the one in Mesquite, there was just the one in Grapevine. You remember that?
Yep.
And over there by the saltwater stuff, there was a tank that had only hybrids, or which, you know, y'all call them palmetto bass or whatever. What are wipers?
Wipers.
And we were doing a wiper fishing. Well, they were feeding the wipers over there. That was an impressive thing to watch. Because those things are, like, really fast.
Yeah.
Like, and they would attack from far off. Like, that fish would be, like, 10 foot from the minnow and, like, in a blister, just go up there and get it.
That's weird. What's a minnow?
What's a minnow you? A minnow not. It's the girlfriend you're looking for.
Oh,
okay, so
man. She can cook a good muffin and a cookie, too.
Oh, man. Scotch bonnets, blue bonnets, and Mennonite bonnets. That's what Eric's all about.
That's the Texas slam
that's
right
the Texas
there.
Texas trio right there, man. Remember, guys, do it Texas style, and remember, this is your element.
Live it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.